years all went by. With all the voices I've heard, something has died.
Lots of ways to show you have style. Wearing fur isn't one of them. Each year, millions of animals are drowned or beaten to death in the wild, or gassed or electrocuted in captivity for their coats. Cruelty is one fashion statement we can do without. Please help the animals by joining People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
To find out how you can help, visit furisdead.com or call 757-622-PETA.
Whether I'm going to Johnny Food Masters or cruising the Parkway on my TA, I like to tune in to WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It's wicked pisser.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Write those numbers down. Punch them into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners.
We do indeed.
And coming up later tonight, we'll be talking about the Alfred Pujols countries.
That's the only way we can call it.
That's the substitute. No disrespect intended whatsoever for Mr. Pujols.
Yes, because heck yeah.
Who is one of the great baseball players of our era, but also has a name that makes us all snicker from time to time.
Well, and nonetheless, we need a euphemism because, ironically, our president can say things that the FCC won't let us say.
But that's not stopping CNN from taking full advantage of their cable exemption to not only say it all night long, but write it on pieces of paper during the broadcast, put it up on the Chiron. I mean, it's everywhere.
Well, of course. I mean, it's just like when the FCC tells us we can't show certain types of violence, but it's like, but we have to show this kind of violence.
You can show, well,
it's the same.
You know,
this is violence to the ear.
But keep in mind, the only time they can't show that violence is if it's actually happening somewhere. And people might learn something about the world. You can do it on The Walking Dead all day long. But God forbid anybody sees a naked boob anywhere on television. Oh. That's the end times.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Naked boob.
Especially because naked boobs are everywhere whenever anyone's breastfeeding. Anyways.
Yeah. Can't have the kids looking at the naked boobs or I guess society collapses. We are one naked boob away from it all being over, Shay Spillane. Mm-hmm. With that in mind.
The news for today.
What else is threatening to destroy society right now?
Well, in local news, unfortunately, there was a bit of a tragedy on the trails of the Sunday River Ski Resort in Maine this morning after two teenagers riding a sled down a ski trail hit a tree. It killed one, badly injured another. The crash happened around 2 a.m. An 18-year-old identified as David Colhase was killed. And a 17-year-old was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Both teens are from New Hampshire. Derek Malia identified the injured teen as his son. Max Malia of Hampton, his name is Max Malia of Hampton. In a Facebook post, the elder Malia said his son is suffering from a fractured skull.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, kids, here's a couple of things that you want to know, because there was another one similar to this. There was a girl sledding at a ski course teenager.
I have to say, like, why?
Got killed.
I get scared skiing on a ski course. Sledding is a terrible idea.
Well, sledding is fun. People like sledding.
No, I'm saying, don't get me wrong. Sledding is a great idea on, like, a golf course or something. But skiing, like, hills that you ski on are made to be skied on.
There is no sledding allowed on the ski slope at Sunday River.
Precisely.
Which is why these kids are going out there at 2 in the morning to do it. Because they know if they try doing it during the day, they're going to get caught and they're going to get thrown off the ski slope. Mm-hmm. The problem is, number one, you're using a tube, which you have no control over whatsoever. They always say, don't sled on those things. Don't use the tubes. Don't use the discs. But come on, that's where the real fun is. But you're on a ski slope. It's 2 in the morning. If something goes wrong out there, you are on your own.
Oh, yeah.
That's the real. Now, there was another one where a girl was sledding at a ski slope. I think this was out in Michigan. 18 years old, got hit and killed by a drunk driver. So there's another, you know, I was a teenager once. I know the appeal of sledding at like midnight when nobody's out there and you got the hill all to yourself.
Don't get me wrong. It's awesome. But when I was a teenager, we'd sled on like golf courses.
Yeah.
Like places where it really didn't matter. The chances of you getting really badly hurt were, I mean, I've been skiing my whole life and I got injured while skiing. It took them like 2 hours to find me.
I think it was.
That was during the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Trying to sled on a ski scoop.
I think it was the 10th tee at Mount Hood Golf Course in Melrose, which is where we all used to love to go sledding. Because
kids from the South Shore, go to President's.
Just dropped off. And it was nice and long, so you could sled on it forever, and a ton of fun. But we also did that during the day. And if the kids were up there at night, there were neighbors next to the golf course, and the police would be there shortly thereafter. You know, and it's not that we don't want you to have fun. It's not that we don't want you to be out there sledding. But when you're 17, 18, 19 years old, the one thing you need to understand about yourself is that you don't think right. You don't think in terms of death or injury because you assume that you are invincible. You are not.
Well, Matt, I actually remember being told that when I was 18. Like, you think you're so tough. You think there's nothing that's going to take you down. And me being like, screw you, whatever. But it is true.
Yeah.
You feel at that age, you feel like there's nothing you can do wrong, and I'm here to tell you kids, you can.
You don't want to be injured outside in the snow at this time of year, in the middle of the night.
Like, that's the worst. I mean, at least die doing something really cool. Don't do an 8-year-old thing.
I would say tubing down the ski slope is cool, But it doesn't need to be fatal.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, don't get me wrong. Like, that's, if you're going to, let's say, like, do something that is cool in the rebellious sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just, that was really fancy sounding. But doing something cool, like, in a way that isn't sanctioned by people.
All right, I think you're giving people bad ideas.
Yeah, I really am.
You may be heading into the realm of bad ideas.
In national news, Donald Trump said today that Russia is helping North Korea get supplies in violation of international sanctions, and that Pyongyang is getting, quote, closer every day, end quote, to developing a long-range missile that could hit the United States. Trump declined to comment when asked whether he had engaged in any communication at all with Kim Jong-un, with whom he has exchanged insults and threats, heightening tensions in the region.
Apparently what the Russians are doing is taking tankers full of oil out into the middle of the ocean and then offloading the oil onto North Korean tankers, and then the North Korean tankers float off. Yeah, that's the specific accusation that's been made. Russia, of course, denies this.
Well, the great irony, of course, being that we've been sitting here for months talking about how our president has ties with Russia. And honestly, I kind of took a little bit of comfort in that.
He doesn't because he can't. Because the second that he says anything to anyone in Russia, everyone in the American news media pounces. And I've brought up in the past how this is doing us a tremendous disservice on the global stage, because we need to be able to cooperate with Russia. We need our president to be able to talk to Vladimir Putin so that we can solve problems. There should be Russians coming and going at the White House all the time.
All the time, yeah.
There were under previous administrations. We can't do that now because Don Lemon and everybody over at CNN and the Washington Post are all hiding in the bushes waiting to jump out and say, aha, Russians.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that it really is a matter of that. Don't get me wrong. I think absolutely we should not be best pals with Russia, nor should we be best pals with China or North Korea or fill in the blank. But at the same time, it's not cool to, I mean, he is attacking everyone that we are supposed to be afraid of.
Well, he's not attacking Russia.
Not attacking them, but
he's attacking North Korea.
But he's putting an arm's length between himself and everyone we're supposed to be afraid of.
Part of the reason Russia does this, by the way, and there is no doubt in my mind that Russia is doing this, part of the reason they do this is just to yank our chain, which is the same reason that China occasionally throws some support to North Korea. It's a good way to yank America's chain. Because one of the things that came out in the Reuters piece where Trump talked about Russia is that Moscow does not consider North Korea a threat. Moscow does not believe that North Korea is ever actually going to launch a nuclear weapon. And they think that all of this tension between the United States and North Korea is basically overblown. I don't know what to make of that per se, except to say that Russia does not have missiles pointed at Moscow, whereas North Korea has repeatedly said, we have no problem pointing our missiles at the United States.
Yeah.
So North Korea has picked a particular country to antagonize. And I do think it is very, very, very unlikely. As I said a few weeks ago,
well, it's just like,
my button is bigger than yours has told me that everything I needed to know about where things stand with North Korea. If we're down to the point of comparing penis size, there's no real threat here. There is no real threat here.
Well, that's the thing, is that it very much reminds me of, like, you know, when you're in elementary school and one guy's like, I'm going to punch him in the face. And the other guy's like, I'm going to punch him in the face. And neither of them ever actually do it.
Yeah.
They just talk about it.
Yeah. It's because they're both flexing. They're both trying to establish, you know, hey, yeah, I'm exactly the one that's in charge here.
It's flexing, precisely.
And it's, and for Russia, this is the kind of thing that you can do to harass the United States that isn't easily yeah, proven.
Very true.
That doesn't have any real consequences for anybody.
Yeah, it's just, it's literally flexing. That's the best way to, yeah, not literally, yeah. That's the absolute best way to put it.
And you know, what are you going to do? We're not going to, no one's going to let North Korea starve. No one's going to let North Korea freeze to death. But at the same time,
while they very easily could,
it doesn't do much for international relations when all of these countries sign off on these agreements and then turn around and quietly smuggle things into the offending nation.
I love so much. I've been binge watching shows that I used to love that have since gone off the air. But I was binge watching Parks and Rec the other day, and there was an episode where Donna, who is one of my favorite characters on Parks and Rec, if you haven't watched it, watch it. Like, oh my God, it's so good. But they talk about visiting Middle Korea because it's in one of the episodes that projects to the future, which at that time was 2017, right, and it was in 2014. But it's so funny to think about, like, Middle Korea. Like, that's actually something that should exist, or at least
it exists now. It's called the demilitarized zone, and nobody is there except for some soldiers and some landmines.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, it's so foolish that we all have to sit here in this weird, totally militarized world.
Well, one of the problems is I think most people can take a step back and look at this and say, who keeps promoting this situation?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
And for North Korea, a country that's starving, where the people given the opportunity would probably rise up and slaughter everybody who's in charge, the ongoing war with South Korea is politically beneficial because it lets the military stay in charge. It lets everybody keep their power. You got to let Kim Jong-un execute somebody every few months to keep him happy. But other than that, it preserves the status quo for the people in power. And people who are in power want to preserve the status quo more than they want anything else, because that keeps them fat and happy. And that's ultimately what it's all about. Who's fat and happy? Donald Trump is fat and happy. Kim Jong-un is fat and happy. Vladimir Putin, rather fit.
All these awful people.
Vladimir Putin is in better shape than most world leaders.
It is so... I mean,
given how much
he's
older,
in better shape than I am. Makes me very annoyed.
You can talk about Justin Trudeau and Emmanuel Macron, but they're both half his age. You know, Putin's not a young man.
Putin's like my dad's age.
Putin's working out. Putin's doing his judo. He's a judo guy, and he trains in judo every day. Yeah, and that judo, good way to keep in shape. Good way to avoid the dad bod. So something to keep in mind, fellas. Makes you look...
Get your Putin regimen on.
Makes you look more virile. I'm telling you, Vladimir Putin put out a health and fitness guide for the middle-aged male. International bestseller. International bestseller. Look at the guy.
I believe it. I mean, he is taut. That's the way to describe him, as taut.
How many men in their 50s can you think of that you want to see with their shirt off?
Are we including George Clooney?
Yeah,
no,
oh yeah.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
All right, then, I don't know, like three?
George Clooney works out. We know George Clooney spends half his time working out. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
But Putin's, like, running a country.
Yeah, he's running a country, and I'm going to say, you know, Russia schmusha.
He's running one country.
He's got a six-pack.
He's invading another country and smuggling fuel to a third and still has six-pack abs.
He still keeps it tight.
Yeah. Impressive. The rest of us could learn something from this, is what I'm saying. Don't hate Putin. In world news, speaking of the Koreas, sports diplomacy continues to bring the divided Korean peninsula together. North and South Korea announced that they will form a joint women's hockey team for next month's Winter Games in Pyeongchang and march under a unified flag in the Olympic opening ceremony. The size of the North Korean Olympic delegation has now grown to 550, and the first athletes are expected to arrive next Thursday. Approval is needed and expected from the International Olympic Committee, but some observers see Kim Jong-un's new charm offensive as a tool to diminish the influence of the United States in the region.
I'm going to have to call on that.
This is a significant thing because this, apart from the factory, like we all used to talk about the factory. There was a factory in the DMZ that was owned by North Korea and staffed by North and South Korean workers. And it was a big deal because it was the one bit of cooperation that still existed between the two countries. The factory shut down a number of years ago when Obama and Kim Jong-un started doing their dance over the nuclear weapons program. Now we have the hockey team. And this is a big deal because these two governments allegedly are at complete odds and loggerheads.
Yeah, like they
are actively still in a state of war with each other.
Yeah.
We have an armistice. We don't have a peace treaty. So for them to come together and form an Olympic team, number one, is a big deal. What's an even bigger deal in all of this is this concept of a unified presence and a unified flag. That's something that has not been seen since before the Korean War.
Well, and that's when I said I call on that. I don't mean in them uniting. I mean in anyone having a problem with it. I mean the whole point of the Olympics at its core is to not have a unity, but have some sort of friendship between all of the countries. Friendship is the first word I could think of. It's not really accurately describing what I'd like to say, but it's camaraderie amongst countries. And the fact that North Korea and South Korea are coming together for this is the fact that anybody is trying to dispute or be against that is absurd. Because if anything, we should be like, thank God, like, this is exactly what the Olympics was conceived upon.
It's part of the point of the whole thing. Yeah. This is why economic cooperation is a good thing and why free trade agreements are a good thing.
Precisely.
Because the more that you entangle the daily lives of two countries, the less likely those countries are to go to war
with each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's if you look at what's happening, we haven't gone into it in depth, but at some point in time, we may find a reason to do it. There's been an ongoing battle between New England and Canada over milk prices and lumber and other things. But milk has been a big one. And it's always the same thing.
They bring up maple syrup.
The United States accuses Canada of flooding the market with cheap commodities and driving down the revenues that American farmers can make. The American farmers basically sit there and say, their government funded up there. Government subsidies are helping to lower the cost of production so the Canadians can afford to sell this for way less than we can. If you went back 100 years and or even 80 years and we're dealing with somebody who isn't as naturally servile as the Canadians are, this is the sort of thing that would lead to a border war. This is the sort of thing that would result in open armed conflict between two countries. It's like, you are trying to destroy our farmers. No, we're not. We're doing things our way.
I mean, we
we're not going to let you do that anymore.
I mean, we
and
became
people start
a country
shooting.
Over tea.
Yeah. And people start shooting. Because we have a treaty, because there's an agreement in place, everybody sits down in a room and yells at each other, but nobody's picking up weapons. This is... We rail against the Olympics on this show a lot because it is a bloated, corrupt, expensive, questionable proposition for the countries that get saddled with having to host the Olympics. The spirit of the Olympics and the concept behind the games is brilliant. And the fact that this sporting event, you know, is like I say, it's a little bit like Kim Jong-un is the Grinch sitting up there in North Korea while all the Who's are down in Pyeongchang having a great time. And he's like, wait a minute. You know what? I want to be a part of that. My people want to enjoy that. And it's opened, it's cracked the door a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Cracking the door a little bit is huge right now.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I guess that is the ultimate reason that I'm kind of upset about that. It's just, it's accomplishing what it was set out to accomplish by being something that it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter this, it doesn't matter that. We're all going to jump as far as we can, or I don't know, do as many flips as we can, or this is something that brings us all together as human beings. That's what I always have loved about the Olympics, is that it unites people in terms of something that has nothing to do with where you're from, who you are, what your culture is. It doesn't matter. And for someone to get angry about it accomplishing exactly what it was supposed to accomplish is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, Kim Jong-un could be playing a long game here. He could be sitting there saying, you know what?
I mean, he could, but should that matter?
South Korea will go bankrupt because of the Olympics, so we're going to scout it out during the Olympics, and then we'll know where to invade when they're bankrupt and, and can't defend against us anymore. That could be a possibility.
Well, let's hope that's what's happening right now.
That would be bad. On the Olympic theme, two gymnasts have called for USA Gymnastics to stop using the Karoly Ranch in Huntsville, Texas, as a training facility. Current Team USA member Simone Biles issued a statement saying that she had also been abused by former team doctor Larry Nassar, and added, quote, "As I work toward my dream of competing in Tokyo in 2020, I will have to continually return to the same training facility where I was abused," end quote. Biles was backed up by Allie Raisman, who competed in the 2016 Rio Olympics, who told ESPN, quote, "No one should have to go back there after so many of us were abused there," end quote. The ranch is operated by legendary coaches Bella and Marta Karoly, who have not been charged with any wrongdoing, but have been criticized for creating a culture that allowed Nassar to molest dozens of girls over more than two decades.
I can't.
I can't. I'm not gonna go into the impact statements in the Nassar trial, because they're out there. If you want to read them and have your heart broken over and over and over again, by all means, there's you, at this point in the story, you should know what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
Under the guise of medical treatment, Larry Nassar sexually assaulted 140 girls that we know of.
Yeah, and if you, I've been reading the
We know of,
and the testimony. Come forward. The testimony is still, all the testimonies are still coming out.
Yeah.
And if you read them or listen to them, depending on which media you prefer, it's really gross. It's really heartbreaking. Because it's one thing if you get abused. It's one thing if you get sexually assaulted. Like, as I've spoken about on the show before, I have been raped. I've had awful things happen to me. But it's different when it's somebody that's supposed to be trusted, when it's somebody who you go in thinking that you're going to be taken care of. And these poor girls, I
fully support Simone Biles, and I agree with her 100%.
Yeah.
You can't
even imagine.
You can take the Karolys out of the ranch and still have a training center. Go find a university someplace. Go train somewhere else. Don't make those girls go back there, because the difference between then and now is then they didn't necessarily realize that they were being molested. Now they know.
Exactly.
Now they know.
And that's the worst part, is that, I mean, so often when you're a child, you don't, and I'm counting a lot of these women as being children. I mean, when you're 14, for the longest time, I thought that sperm was a tongue that came out of the end of the penis. I thought that. That was a thing I thought. When you're a child, you don't think about...
If guys had that, nothing would ever get
sex.
Done. Ever again. Ever again.
But sex and sexual things are so... You don't really know what to make of them until you do. But picturing like a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl being in the doctor's office and having the doctor say, this is a normal thing that should be happening. you don't question it. Like, how could you ever? And then how devastating it must be to finally actually realize how wrong it was.
Yeah.
It's...
And all these girls who have come forward are showing a tremendous amount of courage in confronting him.
Absolutely.
A couple of them aren't because they've signed non-disclosure agreements with USA Gymnastics that prevent them from saying anything.
That's gross.
Which is disgusting. Yeah. And we need to talk about the non-disclosure agreement at some point. But as far as going back to the ranch is concerned, no. No. Nobody should be going back to the ranch.
No.
The ranch should be shut down. At this point, in the same way that we would shut down a daycare center or a school where excessive molestation happened, in the same way that we would shut down a place and knock down a place where a mass murder happened, that's a crime scene.
Yeah.
That's a crime scene. That's a place where unspeakable crimes were committed.
You want to set it on fire.
For years. And asking any of these girls who were there and who experienced this to go back, I mean, you see the pain in their faces now. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have the best gymnasts competing at the highest possible level, you want to try and take that pain away from them so that they can actually experience joy and accomplishment in what they do and not be sitting there reliving things that happened in the past and trying to deal with that at the same time that they're dealing with everything else. It's stunning to me that USA Gymnastics has been as successful as it's been with all of this going on in the background.
I know.
And he's not the only one.
That's the thing that shocks me the most, to be honest.
He's like, Larry Nassar is like the final boss in the video game. You know, after you, once you get to a certain level of gymnastics, after you've been molested by all the low-level coaches, you get molested by the final boss, the ultimate molester.
The Nassar.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, speaking of terrible things, in entertainment news, Dolores O'Riordan, who was the lead singer of the Irish rock band The Cranberries, died Monday in London. She was 46 years old, and her death was announced by a publicist who did not specify the cause. The publicist said in an emailed statement, Irish and international singer Dolores O'Riordan has died suddenly in London today, adding that she had been in London for a recording session. The statement said that family members were devastated to hear the breaking news and have requested privacy. A spokesperson for the Metropolitan Police said on Monday that the police were called to a Park Lane hotel in Westminster around 9:05 a.m. and that Ms. O'Riordan was pronounced dead at the scene. Her death is not being treated as suspicious. I won't lie, this devastated me. Like, as a... It's strange because a lot of my friends, you know, like Prince died and David Bowie died, and while respecting, obviously, like, I thought Prince was great. I thought David Bowie was great, but I was never, like, a huge fan. I loved the Cranberries, and I loved... My favorite story about Dolores, actually, is that her mom, she wanted to be a rock star. Her mom wanted her to be a nun. And her mom would always talk about how respectful, pious women had long hair. They didn't mess with their hair. So she chewed a bunch of gum and stuck it in her hair so that she'd have to shave her head. And just looked at her mom and was basically like, well, I guess I can't be a nun now.
Nice.
Because I'm not a pious woman, clearly.
Yeah.
But I do want to know how she died. I know it's morbid and ridiculous, but at the same time, I don't know what it is about the past couple of years. It feels like more respectable people are dying.
Than
it used to be.
I have a sneaking suspicion, given her history of mental illness and her history of taking drugs for mental illness, that this is in some way or another drug related.
Yes. Oh, I agree.
She took too much, either deliberately or accidentally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And that's, what was the thing? It's like, you don't die at 46 from, like, something random.
Yeah. Look at Keith Richards. You know, that guy's still walking around.
Yeah. Like, if you die at 46, you're dying because you kind of, if you die at 46 without first 6 months ago being like, oh, I have stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it's definitely, as much as they said it's not being treated as suspicious, it's kind of suspicious.
Well, it's when they say it's not being treated as suspicious,
they mean like no one murdered her.
They mean, yeah, nobody else was involved. And yeah. And it means one of two things. Either they found a suicide note, or they found an empty bottle of pills, or they found something at the scene that gave them a very clear picture of what the cause of death was. And with celebrities, there is a tendency for law enforcement to sort of clam up and not say anything about the exact nature of what the death was or how the person was found, which is how you get things like the Michael Hutchins autoerotic asphyxiation accidental death being a story all these years later. Whether or not it is in fact true, there's that germ of possibility that it might be.
Well, the thing that really gets me, though, like, Derek, I have to ask you, do you have to let it linger?
Maybe.
Do you have to let it linger?
I always thought Ode to My Family was a better song than that, but you know.
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, I actually stayed in, there was a bed and breakfast in Ireland in Dingle, where...
Dingle?
Yes.
Dingle.
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 I swear to God.
Known for their berries in Dingle. Aren't they? Very well known globally for their berries.
My brother, the whole time we were there, my brother was like, I have to get a shirt that says I heart Dingle.
Hmm.
And my mom ended up getting one that just said Dingle and had like hearts and flowers and chite all over it.
I'm heading over to Dingle and opening the berry farm to beat all berry farms. and fresh Dingle berries are going to be in every supermarket.
But the B&B, I swear to God, the B&B we stayed in, their garage was filled with, they had like Cranberries gold album, gold records.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, how did you get these? Apparently they all grew up next door to this B&B we were at.
Oh nice.
And got their start in the garage of the B&B.
Mm.
That's where, because it was soundproof.
That's cool. That's cool.
She's like, that is nope. But suffice to say, RIP Dolores O'Riordan.
Sad times in Dingle.
Evidently so.
I'm not going to make another Barry joke. It's tempting, but it's a serious topic.
Sometimes you need to break up a serious topic.
In technology news, members of Congress have put strong pressure on AT&T to end all business ties with China-based phone maker Huawei. In their strongest action to date, Republican Representatives Michael Conaway and Liz Cheney introduced a bill that would ban the U.S. government from using Huawei phones, a move that would block AT&T from winning government contracts. Congress has raised concerns over the potential for Chinese government spying through smartphones and has also advised AT&T, the second largest telephone carrier in the United States, not to work with China Mobile as it develops 5G smartphone networks. So this is interesting because
this is
Huawei
very indicative of
Huawei is the number two cell phone manufacturer in the world. And they don't really sell much of anything here. They sell it all in China. The Chinese market is so big that you can just sell there and automatically be one of the biggest companies in the world. There are two possible ways of looking at what's going on here. One is the very legitimate concern about the Chinese government stealing information about the American people. And if you have Chinese-made phones that can track everything we do and every place we go and everything that we put into them, there is a reasonable suspicion that that data can be sent back to the People's Central Database over in China and used for nefarious purposes. So that's a legitimate concern. The other issue that you have is the sort of backdoor sanctions that the United States may be trying to apply to put pressure on China to toe the line with North Korea. Because preventing China from entering the United States telecom industry puts a brake on the Chinese economy in a way that very few things otherwise would. So there may be a CIA intelligence concern going on here. There may be some diplomatic sanction type things going on here. It's a complex story that goes above and beyond simply saying, we don't want you working with Huawei. Really what this is about is the United States government saying, we don't like the way China does business. Yeah. We don't like who China does business with. So we are going to stop them from finding ways to expand in the United States. This has been largely constrained in the technology sector, but there have been other areas where the United States government has been very obstructionist when it comes to Chinese expansion.
Well, that's what's so interesting about this story is that it is, it's a bit of a symbol for the way the world's economy is working right now. We used to try to interact with one another, scratch each other's back in a way of, you know, you do this for me, I do this for you. It's becoming a lot more, especially I found since the EU was formed, the rest of the world has been so much more focused on, wait, maybe I shouldn't give this person too much power, or I'm sorry, this country too much power. This, and this is a great example of that, of the United States being like, no, 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 let's cut everything out of China. It is very interesting, just to see, how, what's the word, for lack of a better word, scared. To see how scared everybody is.
But it's not necessarily, I mean,
it's not even scared. On the sanction side of things, I suppose.
On the sanction side of things, that's not driving it. But on the intelligence community side of things, that absolutely is.
Yeah.
Because China does remain to a large extent impenetrable to us. And we know that they're stealing huge amounts of our data. Mm. We know that they're behind some of the major cyber breaches that have taken place. We know that they have a massive database of information about the American people. How much more are you going to give them? Now, why we're not asking these same questions about Google and Facebook is another story entirely.
Fair point.
Because if you're going to ask these questions about China and you're going to say, well, we don't want foreign country that we can't control having all of this information about the American people, why do you turn around and let Google and Facebook, private corporations that you can't control because they believe themselves to be above the law of the United States or even any other country on earth, why do you let them have all of that information? Consistency is all I ask. Really is.
It's, even if you're going to be a jerk, at least be consistent about it.
It's that simple. But we are going to keep obstructing China for the foreseeable future. If you see a break in that pattern, and think about it is, China, you want to sell paint, you want to sell clothes, you want to sell toys, you can sell that stuff to the United States all day long. You know, you want to sell canned frozen seafood, fine. We're all good with that. We're not going to let you sell any electronics. We're not going to let you sell cars. No. And those are the two biggest, most plum businesses that they would like to get involved in this country. And the United States right now is basically saying no. If you see that thaw, if you see that break at some point in the near future, it means that China has done something that made somebody in Washington happy. And it's going to come out of the State Department.
I hate that you're right, but you're right.
It's going to come out of the State Department, and it's going to be China stepping up against North Korea. I think if the North Korean situation suddenly resolves in some way, and China's involved in it, you will see a lot of Chinese entry into United States technology markets.
All of a sudden, we're all going to be using a phone called Kung Hei Fa Choi.
All of a sudden, Jack Ma is able to open Alibaba.com in the United States and sell things directly to us. And Jeff Bezos is running scared.
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
You are going to love the 5-day forecast.
together.
Unless you like snow, then you're not going to love it so much. Because the snow's gone. The snow's wrapping up right now. The snow will end at some point this evening. And then the temperature is going to drop to a low of about 20 degrees. So get some sand on your walkways. Don't go out unless you have to go out. It's going to be dangerous driving out there tonight, particularly on local roads. Be very, very careful if you have to go out tonight. Tomorrow is going to be sunny. Not too much melting, but we'll get into the mid-30s. Lows fall back into the mid-20s tomorrow night. Friday, some clouds blow around. Temperatures get a little bit warmer. Mid to upper 30s. Lows in the upper 20s Friday night. And then on Saturday, little quick warm-up settles in. Highs in the mid-40s on Saturday.
I was going to say, warm-up, what, is it going to be 41?
Say goodbye to that snow out there. Might be a shower around. Very, very low chance of that, but could happen. Lows stay above freezing on Saturday night. Sunday, same thing, mid-40s for you going out to the Pats game. And then temperatures start to fall back. Highs, lows around 30 degrees on Sunday night. And then Monday, highs and lows in the mid-30s. Not bad.
Yeah.
Seasonable. We get some melting.
I mean, compared to, honestly, I didn't like the 11. I didn't like the 61.
40s. Way, way 40s, nicer.
40s where I want to be.
Way nicer weather if you're going to the Pats game this weekend, and I am jealous of you because last weekend was cold. It was cold. The one thing I will say, it wasn't windy. So you just kind of sat, and the beer didn't really start to freeze until the fourth quarter. So that was good. But it's one of those things that it's like you're out there and you're like, it's cold. And then as the game goes on, it's getting colder and colder and colder. And you've been losing body heat for 2.5 hours at that point.
Yeah.
So the extra cold isn't doing you any favors.
I don't get why you people do that.
Because it's fun. There's football and winning and screaming and public drunkenness and an opportunity to berate people who like a team other than yours. These are all good things. This is why we were fans.
You can do that during the summer if you like baseball.
855-915-9636. There is no such thing as a classic snow game in baseball.
I mean, there could be if global warming keeps going the way it is.
No, because all the little wussy baseball players would run and hide in the dugout at the first sign of flakes.
Shut up. Wussy baseball players.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you.
Babe Ruth is rolling over in his grave right now.
9 o'clock tonight on the Tell Mikey D. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week?
Wholesomeness, quality, convenience, value for your dollar. These are just a few things to consider when you're buying beef for your freezer. Basically, you have three choices. You can buy beef as a side or a quarter, you can buy wholesale cuts, or you can choose retail cuts. And deciding which to buy, you should consider the amount of beef you can store in your freezer, the amount your family can use in a reasonable time, and the kinds of meat your family enjoys. If your family likes steak, for example, it's probably best to buy a large quantity of the kind they like when it's a featured special at your retail store. A side of beef, on the other hand, will give you about one-third steaks, one-third roast, and one-third stew or ground beef. If you want to learn more about buying meat for your freezer, we have some free information. Write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. If you want to give us a call, you can at 855-915-WMFO. And now one of our favorite parts of the program called Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on the various news stories from last week. And I'm going to start out with Vistaprint.
Vistaprint, they're the business card people.
They are indeed.
Are they coming out with a cryptocurrency?
I have no idea.
Usually you mention any company now and it's like, oh, Bitcoin. Vistaprint. Didn't hear anything about them this week.
A gay couple is suing the printing company Vistaprint after allegedly opening their wedding programs only to find hate-filled pamphlets instead.
Ooh, someone mixed up the boxes.
According to the lawsuit, Stephen Heasley, who is originally from Butler County, and Andrew Borg said they ordered 100 wedding programs from Vistaprint when they opened the package the night before their Butler County wedding. They found literature with hateful, discriminatory, and anti-gay messages equaling their relationship to Satan's temptation. Inside the shipment were approximately 80 copies of a discriminatory pamphlet entitled Understanding Temptation, Fight the Good Fight of Faith. Satan entices your flesh with evil desires, and sin is the result of your failure to resist the temptation.
Wow. So did they use them at their wedding reception?
Oh, of course.
Because I would have just gone ahead and been like, you know.
Well, the reason I thought this story was worth including was just the sheer fact that, I mean, how it's bad enough when just in the general public somebody goes against somebody for being homosexual, like. When it's a company like Vistaprint is where I get my business cards
from. I don't think we're dealing with any sort of Vistaprint corporate policy here.
It's one disgruntled worker being like, screwed these gay guys.
There's two possibilities here. One is exactly what you said, which is you got some idiot who's like, I hate the gays, so I'm sending this out. The other is they run a lot of jobs for a lot of people. So you got one job that is gay wedding programs, and then you got another job that is anti-gay literature, and somebody got the orders mixed up.
Oh yes, that's exactly what happened.
Don't rule it out as a possibility, is what I'm saying, because I'm sure Vistaprint has its hands in the publication of hate literature all over the United States. Everybody uses Vistaprint, and guess what? That means white supremacists are probably using Vistaprint.
So they just happened to mix up the exact right order to have anti-gay propaganda mixed up with a gay wedding invitation.
From a logistics perspective, not impossible.
Not impossible, but not likely.
Your scenario, more likely than you'd think. Your scenario, I think, is the stronger possibility here that you got some clown working in the shipping department or working on the press or working somewhere in wherever this was fulfilled, deciding to send a message because God told him to do it. But you can't rule out the possibility that this is just ye old logistics screw up. You can't rule it out.
I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, that's possible. Possible? Yes. Likely? No.
I have to assume that either scenario is equally likely. I have to assume, you have to assume that.
It is an act of rebellion against God's holiness. That's another thing the Panther read. Yeah.
I would have given him up. I would have had the Vistaprint box sitting there and been like, hey, folks, thinking about using Vistaprint. This
God,
is what they sent us.
I want to throw my empty Red Bull can at you right now.
Why?
You know why.
Aziz Ansari.
Huh. Aziz Ansari is amongst the latest of those who have been accused of some sort of sexual misconduct. I will say that his story And I got a lot of flack. I posted something on Facebook the other day about it, actually. And I get a lot of flack for it. Where it's, I mean, was it cool dude behavior? No.
No.
But was it warranting being labeled as sexual assault or being lumped in with the things that Harvey Weinstein and Louis C.K. and whatever have done? No.
I don't think anybody's going that far.
No, but a lot of people are giving him a lot of flack for it. And it's, well, what I posted on Facebook was, if what Aziz did was sexual assault, then I've been sexually assaulted way more times than I already thought.
Yeah. and for those who don't follow this stuff, a 23-year-old photographer in New York who has chosen to remain anonymous basically detailed a date with Aziz Ansari where he chased her around his apartment asking for oral sex.
She was nude.
I know.
She was nude.
I know.
Of her own volition.
Yes, but he chased it.
He didn't even chase her around.
She says he did.
She says, no, he kept trying to have sex with her, and she kept saying no. And they said, let's just chill on my couch then. And then he pointed at his area and was like, how about this? Implying that he wanted oral sex. They ended up having sex that night without her. It was consensual. They're both nude at multiple points over the course of the night, which leads me, I could see if like you were just under the guise that you were going to watch a movie with him or something, and that would be that. But it's another example, as I believe we've already spoken about on our show, that don't get me wrong, I am obviously the first to advocate for anyone who has been sexually assaulted or in any way violated, but it's also created a kind of unfair platform for those who just want their 5 minutes of fame.
But there is no shortage of women online willing to put Ansari in the same category as Harvey Weinstein and
that's
every,
what I'm saying.
And
is
every
unfair?
Other man. So
it's unfair because I'm not, I mean, I think.
Here's a couple
of reasons. I've met Aziz. He's kind of a, can I say the D word?
Probably not. I think we can call him a douche if you want.
That's what I want to say. He's kind of a douche. Aziz is kind of a douche. But he's a douche in the way that like half of my comedian friends are douches.
Yeah.
Like he's a douche in the way that you just kind of like roll your eyes and it's whatever. He's not a predator. He's not somebody who's going to use someone for sex. He's not somebody who's going to make someone do something that they don't want to do.
Well, you can't say that with any sort of authority.
I mean this in terms of, like, if somebody approached me asking about one of my close male friends, I can say it with the amount of authority of, like, I know them well enough that I can't imagine them doing that.
Right.
And that's the way I feel about this, is as much as, I mean, I've had the exact scenario that she described, which she definitely hyperbolized.
But here's my question, okay? At what point, when you've decided that you don't want to perform oral sex on Aziz Ansari, do you, as a woman, simply say, enough is enough, I'm going to put my clothes on and leave?
That's the thing, is, yeah. I mean, first of all, if you don't want to perform oral sex on somebody, don't have your clothes off in the